Hello everyone, I'm Jude and welcome to Sunday's Four Seekers.
And this is Father Jay. I'm so glad that you guys have joined us. You know, the last time I went live for this audience was last Holy Week for the three-day online retreat. Were you there, Jude?
Yes, I was there, Father. This was last April, right?
Right. And it's our first live episode since we launched our podcast last May. So what do we have in store for them today?
Well, Father Jay, for today, since we just celebrated the Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola, today is our special Ignatian Year episode.
That's right. It's been 500 years since St. Ignatius of Loyola was hit by that infamous cannonball that changed his life and also changed ours.
I'm really looking forward to this chat, Father Jay, because as you know, I virtually grew up with a Jesuit, save for my college years.
That's right. You went to Jesuit schools, no?
Yes. And because we've gone live, we hope that today's conversation will become even more interactive. So we hope to hear from you, our viewers and listeners, through the comment section on Facebook. And you can try that out now as we begin our podcast for this morning. Welcome to Sunday's Four Seekers. This podcast is brought to you by SMART. Live smarter for a better world. And Unilab. Alagang tunay, alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan. Father Jay, can you believe that this is our 8th episode and we've gone live too on 8/8?
Who would have thought, right? As you know, this podcast is really a response to the request that we received from our online retreatants last Holy Week who wanted to learn more about their faith.
Yes, and that retreat provoked a lot of questions about the faith. And I remember you saying, Father, that questions about our faith can be doors that lead to a deeper faith.
Well, that's been my experience with my own faith. It was really my questions about the faith that led me to deepen and strengthen my faith. And I'm hoping that our podcast followers will have a similar experience. So don't be afraid of your questions.
So please do share with us your questions, your comments, your thoughts through the comment section on Facebook. As you watch this live stream, we'll also be reading through some of your comments and questions as we go on with today's episode. So let's get our discussion going. But before we get to our burning question, which we have for each Sundays for Seekers episode, Father Jay, could you share a little bit more about the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola?
Yeah, well, St. Ignatius of Loyola, of course, is the patron saint of the Jesuits. He's the founder of the Society of Jesus. No? In fact, if you come to Ateneo de Manila campus, the most famous statue of him there is him kneeling down, looking at the sky and offering his sword. In fact, there was a story a long time ago about how some freshman students, you know, visited the campus. No, this was obviously before the pandemic. And they saw that statue and they said, "Oy, yan pala si St. Ateneo de Manila." No? Because they thought, of course, the name of the university is the saint. But that's actually St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I think we Filipinos are familiar with him, especially those of us in the NCR, because of Loyola Memorial, because of St. Ignatius Village, which is in Blue Ridge, no? So, but St. Ignatius was really this person that I think anyone can identify with because he was very worldly, was very ambitious. But you know, the turning point in his life was a cannonball. When he was injured by the cannonball, he was trying to win a battle in Pamplona. But, you know, everything fell apart after that. All his dreams fell apart. So he was really a fallen soldier. But, you know, God worked with whatever ruins he found himself in, and he was able to walk out of that wreckage, and he became a saint. No? So that's really very encouraging for us. No? And it's really quite related to our burning question when you think about it.
That's right, Father. Actually, it reminded me of one time I was in the kinder department of Savior, and then one of the students was praying in front of the crucifix, whom he thought was St. Ignatius of Loyola. So, baliktad naman sa amin. Dahil for our students, they think of everyone, all the statues to be either St. Ignatius or St. Francis Xavier, even the crucifixes that we have. So for our burning question today, it's very much related to St. Ignatius of Loyola, who has a lot of mottos, actually. So when we hear about St. Ignatius, we hear about Magis, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam. We hear about being men and women for others. But one motto that really stands out in all Jesuit schools, missions, and institutions is that motto of St. Ignatius, wherein he says, we have to find God in all things. And as many things in life, it's easier said than done. So our burning question for today, well, my burning question for Father Jay today is, Father Jay, how do we find God in all things?
Yeah, that's a great question because it really captures the spirituality of St. Ignatius. No, all the other slogans that you mentioned, most of them are in Latin, so they're less accessible. But this motto, finding God in all things, is very central to St. Ignatius. And a lot of us, I think, can identify with it because who doesn't want to find God in all things, right? But, you know, today it's kind of common because we hear it a lot. But actually, it's a rather subversive statement when you think about it. No, when St. Ignatius came up with his book, The Spiritual Exercises, the very last contemplation is the contemplation to attain divine love. No, and there he sort of guides the retreatant to imagine how God is working through all things in the world. And that's not something easily understood. That's not something we take for granted. Because usually we find God in scripture, right? We find God in prayer. We find God in all the holy places, like when we go to church, we visit the Blessed Sacrament, or maybe when we're attending a Zoom Mass, no? And we're saying the act of spiritual communion while the priest is holding up the consecrated host and the consecrated wine. We can certainly find God in those holy places. But St. Ignatius, by saying we can find God in all things, is kind of stretching it a bit and saying that you can't limit God to just the holy places or the holy moments of your lives. No? You can't put God in that box. Yes, of course, you can find God in your prayer. You can find God in the Bible. No? You can find God at Mass, in the church, no? In all the holy places, when you go on pilgrimage, but you can find God in other places as well. How does that sound to you? Doesn't that sound interesting?
Very interesting, Father, because as you know, growing up, listening to CLE classes, religion classes, it's really very holy-centric in the sense that God, when we say God or when we say faith or religion, it has to be quiet, it has to be silent, it has to be reflective. But then growing up, hearing this term and really seeing how the Jesuits try to find God in all things or allow people to find God in all things, it brings about this whole new understanding that faith should be and God is actually present in all things, not just in quiet or silent places, not just the, as you said, the holy and religious places that we have.
And also, God isn't just found in the dramatic events, like when you're praying and then suddenly you felt, for whatever reason, you felt a lot of peace, you know, you felt a lot of gratitude. You felt really close to God. For example, I remember I went to Fatima a few years ago, no? And I've never been to Fatima. That was the first time. It turned out to be the 100th year of the apparition of Our Lady, no? So there were a lot of people. So it was very moving because the devotees were really so devoted. And the nice thing about Fatima is that it's a big space. And then from the entrance all the way to the place which they call the Chapel of the Apparition, where our Blessed Mother appeared to the three shepherds, so the three kids. There's a very long like pavement, you know, and the devotees would be kneeling and walking towards the Chapel of Apparition on their knees. So it's very inspiring, no? So I really felt, you know, that God was very much present there. So many people were praying the rosary. People were so nice to one another, of course, you know. But those are more dramatic events. Like the procession was so moving. No? But I think one of the radical things St. Ignatius is telling us is that even aside from the holy places, aside from the dramatically religious moments, you can find God in our ordinary experiences. No? So God speaks to us not only through scripture. No? God is present to us not only in that very special way in the Eucharist, but even in our experiences, in our personal experience, in the very ordinary moments in our lives, no? And the reason for that is the incarnation, no? When God became human and our Lord, you know, became human and went through everything that we've been through, no? He was born. He didn't just become an adult. He didn't just show up as an adult. He didn't just pop out of nowhere, no? He went through the stages of human growth, right? So it was a very patient process, no? He went through it, a tedious process. He went through his adolescence, and then he became an adult, no? And he got hungry, he got thirsty. So all these very ordinary human experiences our Lord went through. And as a result, he kind of blessed those experiences. And because he blessed those experiences, any human experience can be a possible encounter with God. We only need to open our eyes, no? and really open our hearts to look for him. So I think the most important message we can get from St. Ignatius is to always look for God. To look for God wherever we find ourselves, no? Not just in scripture. Of course, we can find God there, no? In a very special way. And we'll find God also in a very special way in the Eucharist, no? And during our prayer. But even in our ordinary experiences, no? Even the most boring moments, no? It's important to, you know, like make an effort to look for God. Because we believe that God is present everywhere, right? I mean, I don't think any believer will disagree with that, no? So God's presence is everywhere. But our sense of his presence is not everywhere. No? We don't always sense his presence because we don't always look for him. So we need to look for him. So we need to, you know, exert that effort.
You know, Father, thinking about that now, this idea of finding God in all things has been both one of the most helpful and at the same time, most challenging things, especially throughout this pandemic. Because of course, as we've mentioned, we've all grown accustomed to seeing and finding God in holy places, in religious places. When you need time to pray, when you need God in your life, you go to a chapel, you visit the Blessed Sacrament, you go to Mass. But now that we've been home for a year and a half now, well, it's been that long, yes. It's been helpful for me to really try to find God even if I don't find myself in the chapel or in the Blessed Sacrament. And at the same time, it's been challenging because, as you mentioned, we have to seek him out. He's present, but he won't always be present in our thought because we have to really exert that effort. So, Father, what do you do to exert that effort? Or rather, how do you find God in your life? And what effort do you use to see him?
Yeah, I think we have to be, I think the practice is mindfulness. If you're conscious of God's presence, you know, if you try to be conscious of it, I think that's a big help. The problem, of course, with our lifestyle today, thanks to social media, thanks to the busyness of our life, you know, we're constantly distracted. It's so hard for us to pay attention, right? To be fully attentive. We're always distracted. We have a distraction sickness, they call it, no? Especially because if you notice, right, our days are punctuated with notifications from our devices. And like when we're trying to do something, whether we're working or praying or doing, you know, we're trying to focus on something, there's always a notification from our phone, from our laptop. And in a way, we're getting used to that and we're being conditioned to that so that when we don't get those notifications, it's kind of hard for us. We're not used to it. No? Now, the problem is our sense of God's presence can only happen when we are in silence. No? And by silence, I mean we're aware, we're in full attention. And attentiveness is fast becoming a lost art because of our environment and our lifestyle. So I think one thing we can try to do is really to practice paying attention more. No? And there are many ways of doing that. No? Saying the rosary is one, like when you're repeating those prayers, a lot of people say those are meaningless prayers, you're just repeating. But one of the great things about the rosary when you're saying the prayers is that it kind of quiets you down, you know, because you're just repeating the words, the very familiar words, you know, you've grown up with since you were a child, right? So that kind of quiets, it serves like some kind of a mantra, no? Or you can use a mantra. Like when I go swimming, I actually use a mantra when I'm swimming and it kind of quiets me down. It's my time of some kind of prayer as well, no? And it makes me conscious of God's presence, no? You know, one of the most helpful images that I heard many, many years ago and I never forgot is this Indian metaphor of God as a dancer. No? According to Anthony de Mello, this Jesuit mystic, no? Who was rather controversial, but that's another story. But I remember he was talking about how God is like a dancer. No? And he says, when God dances, no? Obviously when you're dancing, the dance appears, right? But when the dancer stops dancing, the dance disappears. So the dancer and the dance are very intimately connected to one another. So what he's saying is that we see creation, but we lose sight of God. But when you think about it, there's no creation if God stops dancing creation. No? There's no you if God stops dancing you. So again, just to be aware of that, no? To be conscious, to look at creation with the eyes of faith and say, all these things exist because God is dancing all these things. No? So I can see the dance, but the dancer is also there. So to make that effort, no? To find God in creation in all things, that really needs a kind of special, I think, awareness. Eh? And at the end of the day, of course, it's also God's grace. No? We can exert our effort to look for him, but it's up to God whether he's going to allow us to recognize him or not. No? So, for example, if you're, you know, like I have a friend who just went to the beach, no? And was telling me about it, that it's been so long since he's been to the beach, and it was just a religious experience walking on the sand. I was so envious, I remember. But, you know, so there was a sunset and, you know, it was a beautiful scene, right? So he really felt it was a very religious experience because he really felt God's presence. No? So he found God just by walking by the sea, you know? And I think we have similar such experiences, right?
Yes. You know, Father, reading through some of the comments, well, we have close to 100 now watching. So close to 100 watching live. We also have greetings. Of course, from Miss Debbie Tan, our dear friend and supporter, and others. But one of the comments that I would like to read for this morning regarding what you just shared about exerting effort is from Angelica Villoria. She says, exert effort to look for God. Any relationship that thrives is two-way. God is always present. We cannot sense his presence if we are absent.
That's true, you know. And the other thing I want to say there, thanks for that, Angelica, no? But the other thing that really struck me listening to that comment is that, you know, God's presence is everywhere, right? That means his presence is unconditional. It means regardless of what we're doing, whether we're doing something nice or something good, or when we're doing something terrible or we're hurting other people, God, and believe it or not, God is still present to us, no? So his presence is unconditional. But when you think about it, our presence to him, right, is not unconditional. And, you know, and it's hard because, like, for example, you know, a lot of people complain today that when they're talking to someone, their friends sometimes are texting or are distracted by their devices. So we're not used to paying full attention to someone. We're not used to being fully present to someone. So it's even harder when it's God. Because it's so easy to take God for granted because we, you know, he doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? You're not paying attention to me the way we can remind our friends, right? It's kind of like when our friends are, you know, like multitasking and they're typing a text while talking to us. We can say, hey, can you know, I'm here, hello, right? But but God doesn't do that, you know? God's very subtle. So it's so easy to do it to God, right? So I think we really have to make an effort, just like Angelica said. And it's two-way. It's really two-way, you know?
And Father, God does not have notifications on our phones, on our gadgets. When in a time wherein companies, businesses, even our bosses thrive in reminding us and being present in our lives, the competition, so to speak, that God is in is where he, as you said, he's very subtly there. He's always there, but subtly there versus all of these other things that continuously and constantly find a way to be present in our lives. And the challenge really is for us, right? For us to find a way to be mindful, as you said, to be present. And I'm guilty of what you've been mentioning a while ago. I kept on smiling big. All of us are, Father. When we attend meetings and our cameras are off, most likely you're doing something else. You're catching up on other things. You're reading through text messages. You're chatting with a friend in the same Zoom room. But it's hard.
About the speaker, right? Chatting about the speaker.
Yeah. About the speaker.
But you know, the good news, well, it's not really good news, but what's helpful is that, as you know, life happens, you know, as it happened to St. Ignatius, right? Things go wrong in this world. I mean, not that it's good. It's not good that things go wrong. But as we know, it's an open system, right? So things can go wrong. And when things go wrong, when life happens, sometimes we kind of wake up and say, wait a second, I think I need God. No? That's more or less what happened to St. Ignatius. He didn't really pay attention to God. And then when that cannonball hit him and his dreams came crashing down, he started to look for meaning in his life. No? And that's how he found God. And that's what happens to many of us, right? We get carried, you know, when things are going well, of course, we it's easy for us to find God when things are going well, right? But when things go wrong, sometimes we forget God when things are going too well, right? We begin to think, oh, we can do this without God, you know? We can rely on ourselves. Well, you know, I'm lucky and so on and so forth. But then something goes wrong. A crisis happens. And when a crisis happens, sometimes that kind of shakes us up, no? And that's a good opportunity actually for us to resume looking for God again, because we've stopped doing that, no? And the thing with that is it's not a guarantee. Sometimes when bad things happen to us, we become bitter and we become even more separated from God, right? But once in a while, by God's grace, when something goes wrong, it actually becomes a real opportunity to rediscover his presence. Not only his presence, but his nearness to us. No?
That's true, Father. It's easy to find God in beautiful things, like your friend seeing the sunset, taking a walk on the sand, or winning medals in the Olympics, right? Recovering from sickness. But when it comes to adversity and trials in life, it becomes a big, big, big challenge. So what can we learn from St. Ignatius, Father, in trying to find God in the face of adversity, as he did, right, when he was hit by a cannonball?
You know, like when we're reading scripture, we pay attention to what scripture says, right, for us to find God there. What St. Ignatius is telling us is that aside from scripture, another place where we can find God is our own life. So we have to pay attention to our life. We have to listen to our life, as it were. No, if things went really well today, or they did not go well, or it was just corny or boring, to still listen to our life, because God must be there, and God must be trying to tell us something. So I think that would be a good thing, no? To just be able to be more aware and to exert more effort in examining your life, your experiences, not dismissing things as, I'm not going to find God here, because you'll be surprised, no? Because we can find God in the most unexpected places. I think some of my most spiritual experiences have been very surprising. No? I've had some really, I think graced experiences of God's presence in church, no? And during prayer, but also sometimes in a crowd, in the least expected place, no? You suddenly feel God's presence. No? So I'm wondering, maybe our audience has, maybe some of them have similar experiences. We'd like to hear from them. No, if they have any unexpected place where you found God. I mean, you didn't think you'd find God there, you know, for whatever reason. And then for some reason, you encountered God in a very powerful way. We'd love to see what they have, right? I think some people are familiar with this contestant in America's Got Talent named Knight Bird. Are you familiar with her?
Yes. Was she the one who sang It's Okay, Father?
Yes, she wrote her own composition. No? But she came up with a blog and she wrote a blog called God on the Bathroom Floor. And basically what she said there is that, you know, she has cancer, right? She has a rather serious case of cancer. And of course, it affected her psychologically and emotionally. She got depressed and all that, no? And she was saying sometimes all she could do was just curl herself up on the bathroom floor. And she found God there. I mean, that's an unexpected place. You wouldn't exactly check out your bathroom floor when you want to find God, right? But I want to quote from her blog because I think she puts it so beautifully. And maybe later on we can share the the late, no? Nightbird writes here, call me cursed, call me lost, call me scorned, but that's not all. Call me chosen, blessed, sought after. Call me the one who God whispers his secrets to, no? And then she says, even on days when I'm not so sick, sometimes I go lay on the mat in the afternoon light to listen for him. I know it sounds crazy and I can't really explain it, but God is in there, even now. I have heard it said that some people can't see God because they won't look low enough. And it's true. And then she ends with this beautiful line. She says, if you can't see God, look lower. God is on the bathroom floor. So you can find God in the most unexpected places. And you can find God also in places where, you know, it's least pleasant and it's most painful. And the reason for that, no, it's not just the incarnation, but the Paschal mystery. No, I remember when our Lord was human, obviously he went through very difficult things as well. And he suffered as well. And of course he died on the cross, rejected and alone. No? Which means that when we're going through hell, our Lord is also very near us. No? He's also there. So nothing can separate us from God. We can find God everywhere. Actually, there's only one thing that can separate us from God. Can you guess what it is, Jude?
Was it from our last episode, Father?
I don't know. What did we say? I don't remember.
No, we talked about the devil and evil.
Well, and even the devil can't separate you from God.
No? Well, that's true.
It's your freedom, actually. It's our choice. So the only thing that can keep us away from God is our free will. So we always have a choice, even if things are going really bad. I don't know about you. You're very young. I've been through a lot of crises in my life. No, I've hit a lot of rock bottoms in my life. And those were such grace moments. You really find out that, you know, there's no one else, or you feel like there's no one else. But that's when you find out how near God is. Because as I said earlier, his presence is unconditional. He's always there. We just have to look for him. No, we just have to look for him talaga.
That's true, Father. Let me just read through some comments that our viewers have shared so far. Thank you to Aldo Hoson, who shared the link to the blog of Nightbird. So the link is there. We'll also be posting it in the group for everyone to read through if they want to. There are some people who have been sharing how they found God or where they found God. For Gian, he found God in biking. For Angelica, in a conversation about coffee float.
About coffee float. That's really interesting. Coffee float. That's interesting.
So yeah. It's a conversation about coffee float. In find God in a beautiful song. Find God in when he carried a blind baby boy in an orphanage.
Wow. Wow.
You know, Father, I can't help but think about where I found God the most in my life. As you said, I'm very young and I have a lack of experience compared to you, of course. But one of the places wherein I would say I found God the most was in Bilibid. When with our students, I used to go there regularly because of our students' service interaction. So it came to a point wherein I was in Bilibid almost twice a week for 2 months. And I built a relationship with the inmates who were there. We'd hear mass every day. We're there with them. And in the most unexpected of places, I didn't think I'd find God in a place wherein people are incarcerated, people are guilty of their crimes, or for others, not guilty, but falsely accused of their crimes. But, you know, God was really beaming with joy, happiness, and forgiveness and mercy in that place of Bilibid. And again, I'll never forget whenever we hear mass, you'd really see inmates crying, especially during the Our Father and the giving of peace. Because I was telling my students back then, whenever I'm there, I can't help but hold back. I can't hold back my tears also, because this was the place where I felt most at peace at. More than in the outside world, as they call it, it was in this very place that I felt most at peace with people who before in their life were not bearers of peace.
Yeah, and that's very much like our Lord. No? Our Lord spent a lot of his lives not with the high and mighty. He spent his life with those rejected by society, you know, with the sick, the lepers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. No? So that's another tip, I think, on how we can find God, no? By going to the poor, no? By going to those that nobody likes, nobody looks up to. No? As Nightbird said, no? Look lower, not just physically, not just geographically, but also in terms of society, the people who are in the lowest of places, no? What we call the least, the lost, and the last. Because when you think about it, when our Lord became human, why did he choose to be like that? No? Why did he choose to mingle with his people? So really, if we want to find God, we go where he went. No? We go where he went. And you know, when I was studying in overseas, I remember I was, you know, doing a lot of walking because that was what's done there. We don't really do it here, right? But I did a lot of walking. And one time it was winter and there was a strong wind. I remember I was about to cross the street, no? And as I was about to cross the street, in fact, I was already halfway across the street, no? I kind of remember there was this old lady holding on to the lamppost, a very frail old lady. And I said, what you doing, you know? And I said, oh, that's okay. So I started crossing. But I said, wait, maybe I should just, you know, ask her, right? So even if I was busy, it was a rare moment. I actually went back and asked her, can I help you? And she said, you know, she told me she just got out of the hospital and she's worried that the wind might topple her over. So if she could cross the street with me. So I did that, no? And it's unusual for me to, because I'm so busy, right? Or I feel I'm so busy. But for some reason, I actually said, I'm going to just go back, right? And, you know, I was really rewarded for that because I really felt that I found God there. And I'm glad I turned back. So that's the other thing. No? I think to find God in all things, we have to be on the lookout for him. So that's a good question to ask ourselves. No? Do I begin my day deciding to be on the lookout for God? Because God is not obvious. No? God is someone who hides, and he hides in the most unexpected places. And he can be found in the most unpleasant places as well. So I think the first step we have to make if we want to follow St. Ignatius and find God in all things is to make a decision to be on the lookout for him. And we don't do that every day, right? But if we do that consciously, if we're on the lookout for someone, we'll be able to find him more. It's like when you're waiting for a friend. If you're waiting for a friend, every single person who passes, you're going to check out. So I think that's one tip. Are you going to make a decision every day to be on the lookout for God and to wait for him? I think that's going to sort of alert you and make you more sensitive when he shows up.
That's a very good tip, Father, to be on the lookout for God. And in a way, to add that to our to-do lists every day, not just to be on the lookout for emails, for messages, for replies, but really to be on the lookout for God throughout our day. But at the same time, Father, I think, well, for me personally, I've never really thought of it that way, to be on the lookout for God in the morning or when I wake up. Instead, for me, it's really taking time at the end of the day to try and rummage through the day and find God there. As you mentioned in one of our episodes, and as you've been mentioning about the examine, we have to rummage through our day. And that's been helpful for me in trying to find God in my life on a day-to-day or even on a weekly basis. There. So, Father, let me just read through. We have so many comments right now. A lot of people have been sharing how they found God or where they found God. They find God in people and art. When I was going to school during the 90s, I was in the bus and fell asleep. Then my beeper vibrated. 90s pa nga talaga. So, pero naabutan ko pa yung beeper, Father. I woke and checked. But there was no message in the beeper. I looked around. I was in front of school. God just woke me up.
Yeah. And God does that, no? I mean, so it's... But you see, you could have walked away from that experience. Who wrote this?
That was from Leslie Amorgo.
But you know, Leslie, you could have walked away from that experience na wala lang. No, but you recognize God there, right? So that's the recognition is important. And sometimes the recognition happens after. No, like Jude was talking about examine, like going back through your day. even if you don't recognize him during, no, it's possible you can recognize him after, and that's good enough. That's good enough. No?
Father, there's this good comment from Micaela Cabungcal Ramos, where she says, "How true the statement of Father Jay. Are we really busy, or we just feel busy? To be mindful of this is the beginning of sensing God's presence."
Exactly, exactly. Thanks for that, Miko.
So profound. From Michelle Juan, "I find that it's easier to find God in the peaks and valleys. The harder times for me are remembering Him in the more mundane moments, when I'm rushing to meet a deadline, in a meeting, when I'm annoyed at my colleagues."
Yeah, that's I think that's true for a lot of people. That's certainly true for me. You know, when the experience is dramatic, that's when you can, you know, remember God or recognize Him. But when it's, you know, kind of ordinary and mundane, as Michelle says, that's when we forget to look for God, right? There's one here from Lunita, no? She says, "I had an experience of God's consolation during the sudden death of my mom. When at that moment, a flash of the image of the Pietà came into my mind. And whenever I experience trials and difficulties, I go back to that experience." Thanks for sharing that, no, Lunita. And I think that's really important, because our memories of God's presence in our lives can be a source of strength for us, as Lunita said. No? So when things go wrong, she kind of remembers how God was there for her then. No? And that reassures her. And when you think about it, that's what we do with our friends, right? We go back to our memories, and that sustains. And St. Ignatius says that when we're having a difficult time looking for God or finding Him, all we need to do is remember the times when He was with us. And that's going to sustain us. So thanks for that, Lunita.
Wow. Please keep the comments coming. Thoughts, questions, reflections, they're really great for everyone to read. Although we can't read through all of them right now, you can always go back through them once this live video is posted.
There's one funny comment here from Hershey. "No? I am a new driver. Every time I stop to give way to pedestrians and have a quick pleasant exchange, I think I find God there." So this is really, you know, even a very simple experience like that, if you're on the lookout for God, you're going to find God. No? And in a way, every single kindness that we experience, every bit of beauty, you know, every bit of courage. For example, somebody mentioned a mother's courage during her son's cancer bout. All these things can really be opportunities to encounter God. But what's the difference? You have to be on the lookout. You have to be on the lookout.
You know, Father, come to think of it, many times in our lives, especially for us teachers or for people who are task to care for others, parents, teachers, and others, we oftentimes think that we make God present in the lives of other people, especially when we help the poor. But oftentimes, it's the other way around. When we help others, it's not just us making God present in their lives. Instead, it's actually them making God present in our lives. And that's something we also have to be mindful of, because it's in a way a trap, right? When we feel so messianic and we get to help all of these people who need help, we feel as if we bring all of the good vibes and all of the help that we can give. But at the end of the day, especially after we reflect, like my experience in Belibid, after I reflected on that, I thought to myself, I don't think what they gave me in those days that I was with them would be anywhere near what I was able to give them in the days that I was with them.
And the reason for that really is that that's what our Lord said, no? Like at the end of our lives, when we meet Him, He's not going to ask us religious questions about our faith. He's going to ask us, "Have you done this to the least of my brethren?" No? So what He's trying to tell us is that when you go to the poor, when you try to help other people, I'm there. So you can find me in the prisoners. You can find me in the poor, the hungry, the naked, you know. So that's why it's really, you know, that's why we get that experience. When we're helping others, we're actually are the recipients of God's blessing, because we recognize His presence.
So thank you for today's episode, Father, on how do we find God in all things? As you mentioned, just to bring the ideas together, you mentioned that we have to be mindful, we have to be present, and we have to be aware. And as we ended, you gave two more things or two more tips to do at the start of the day and at the end of the day. At the start, you have to put it to yourself that you will try to find God, or you have to be on the lookout for God, as you said. And at the end, we try to rummage through our day using the examine and try to find God in that previous day, no matter how mundane the day or moments are.
Wow, Jude, it sounds much more organized when you summarize it. So thank you.
But if you would like to hear more and, of course, listen to more reflections from Father Jay, our Sundays from Seekers episodes are released every other Sunday in the Facebook group Sundays for Seekers. But every Sunday, Father Jay actually releases a one-minute homily. And here's how you can join that one-minute homily from Pins of Light.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily. Something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday Gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/pinoylights.
So Father Jay, have you picked out a crucifix from your gallery for your show and tell today?
Of course, I've picked out a crucifix. And the crucifix I picked out comes from El Salvador. So it looks like this, no?
Wow.
And I picked it out because if you can see the background, it's all, you know, like different places, right? Different places. So I thought was, you know, it's perfect for our episode today. It reminds us that we can find our Lord in all the different places in our lives. So there.
That's a beautiful crucifix. Reminds me of the one in Nuvali, Father. Thank you for that interesting crucifix, Father.
If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers, you can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/groups/Sundays4S. Tell your friends about us by using the hashtag Sundays4S.
Now, before we go to our takeaway question for today, it's good for us to read through the comments, Father. There are a lot of really beautiful comments from our viewers today. From Tip Tip, I find God in the tears, in the anger, in the smiles of my counselees, a call for me to listen. From Aldo, sometimes the hardest time to recognize God is when he says no to our expressed and prayed for desire. It usually takes
years. It's very interesting, yes.
To realize that no was what was best for us in the long term and that everything had to happen that way. Wow.
From it takes a lot of faith to recognize God in his turning us down.
That's true, Father. And of course, trying to find him in that no, as what Aldo mentioned. Thank you for that, Aldo. From Joanne, this is such an aha moment for me. I feel that often God himself takes us, not just us to see or recognize him wherever, whenever, and however. And a lot of thanks for this episode and this conversation. And one here, Father, I thank God for you. Wow, talaga nakakilig, no?
Thank you.
All right. So what's our takeaway question for them, Father?
Well, you know, I really found their responses to the question earlier interesting. So I'm hoping we can continue the conversation online. So our takeaway question will be the same. Now, what are some unexpected places where you're able to find God? I think we can learn from one another, right? So, You know, if we can read the comments of other people, the other viewers and listeners, I think we're going to learn. They're going to be like tips for us where we can find God in our own lives. So let's do that. So our takeaway question is, what are some unexpected places where you were able to find God? And post it on Facebook.
And you know, Father, as early as 10 a.m. on a Sunday, I think I found God in the many different comments and unexpected places our viewers and listeners have found God themselves. It really helps, as you said, just us reading through how they found God gives us hope that we too can find God no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what we're going through, no matter how mundane, crazy, or happy our lives are right now.
That's right.
And hopefully, aside from that, just an invitation. And I think from a young person like myself, my invitation for everyone is to try and make time to find God at the end of the day, and not just for yourself, but also for your families. Maybe just invite your family members for a few minutes every day to share, vote aloud or verbally, or maybe just in silence, just so that we get to build that habit of trying to find God in our everyday lives. And you know, young people right now, many young people are just going through the flow of things. Many of my students, many of our students are keep on saying that it's just so routine. It's like nothing is changing. But when we are more mindful, we get to see that no matter how routine things seem to be, God is there.
Well said, Father Jude. You sound like a priest. So thank you for saying that.
Thank you, Father. So that's, we'd like to thank, of course, our sponsors for the past 8 episodes and more to come, of course, Unilab and Smart.
Thanks also to all of you who have been supporting us in your own way, either by sending donations to us or by telling your friends about Sundays for Seekers.
All of this wouldn't have been possible for all your viewership and your support. So that's it for our 8th episode on this 8th of August. We hope you will continue to join us in our future episodes and tell your friends about it.
So Jude, once again, I want to thank you for a great conversation and a very special thanks to all those who have tuned in and joined us.
We hope to see you at our next podcasts, which will be posted on this group, Sundays for Seekers, on Facebook, YouTube, and all the places you can find podcasts.
Please continue to tell your friends about us. And meanwhile, as we always say here, keep the faith.
And keep on seeking.
The Sundays for Seekers logo was designed by Jem Jemson Tan. Our theme was composed by Marvin Ong. And this episode was produced with Glenn Lopez of Upstream Media PH. Sundays for Seekers has been brought to you by Smart, live smarter for a better world. And Unilab, alagang tunay, alagang Pilipino. Unilab yan!